bluegrass music is about real people and real people's lives, just like public television. To get the show started tonight, here's one of the...
Love. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here on this nice fall day. One more day that the Lord has given us to be thankful for all the things that He's bestowed upon us over all these years. Given us one more day. And we all hope many more days, but we don't know. So be thankful for this one. I want to welcome everyone to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. And we'll start out this morning with our announcements. I don't have any announcements here this morning, so we will just go to the back of the bulletin and remind everyone of the Harvest Store Harvest Dinner. They're still in need, I think, Karen, of monetary donations, are you? Okay, and it appears here that if you've donated items, they need to be in by the morning of Monday, November the 2nd. So keep that in mind and keep the dinner in mind. Curbside only, 4:30 to 6:30. Grief classes are still being held on Monday at 6 o'clock p.m. in Wesley Hall through December. Class is open to the whole community. And don't forget to set your clocks back next Sunday. And also the reading of the saints. Now, if anyone has got a loved one that they want to be included into this, you've got to contact Pastor Sue, and she'll see that their name is added. I guess that's about it for announcements this morning. How about birthdays? Do we have any birthdays this morning? None? Okay. Keep talking. He said. Anniversary. We got any anniversaries this morning? No anniversaries. Okay. That takes care of that, doesn't it? So please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship. Our praise song this morning is "This Is My Father's World."
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let heaven ring. God reigns, let earth be glad.
Our call to worship this morning is the Apostles' Creed. I would ask you all to join me in the reciting of the Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Cation. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of another day. May your hand of protection be upon us as we have come here to worship. May your Holy Spirit fill us as we hear your word. And may we be mindful of living your word every day, not just here on Sunday morning. Amen.
Our hymn this morning is, I Am Thine, O Lord.
I don't think we have any kids in here this morning, but there might be some in the parking lot or maybe listening at home. I just want to remind them that what we're doing this morning is we're talking about words, the word and the words. And I was going to ask them if any words came to mind that they remember on a regular basis, or that they remember hearing over and over again. And I thought of a few examples, like, did you flush? Did you wash your hands? Come here, let me smell. Or wait till your father gets home. We use words all the time, and sometimes we use words so much that they just kind of roll off our backs and we don't even hear or understand the meaning of the word or the significance of the words. And that's what I wanted the kids to think of today, is that words that, even though they're much younger than we are, they've heard some certain words, and they've heard their parents use words, their siblings use words, and the words that they recall, and they will be part of their life story as they go on. And I want them also to remember that not only are there words that we use on a regular basis, there is also the word. There is God's word, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Thank you, kids.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Jeremiah, verses 10 through 14. This is what the Lord says: when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promises to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you can call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where you have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word. And our second hymn this morning, His People Need the Lord.
Only Jesus here.
And would you please join me in the spirit of prayer? Lord, we hope we realize how much we need the Lord. In a world of chaos and confusion, in a world of turmoil, we know that we must turn to you for comfort, for strength, for a way out of all the issues that are confronting us during this time. This morning we pause in prayer and we pray for our country. We pray for the leaders of our country. We pray for those who make decisions on which path our country is to go. We pray for those of us who have the power of our vote in the next week or two, Lord. And we pray that we will use the rights that were given to us to help make decisions, to help hear our voice in what we want for our country and for its leaders. We pray for all those people throughout the country, Lord, throughout the world who are suffering from COVID. And we realize, Lord, that that's not the only disease. Some of the others get lost in the shuffle. But people are suffering, people are hurting. And we pray for them, Lord, and we pray for healing. We pray for cures, we pray for vaccines, and we pray that those who are suffering will be cured and that those who are suffering will be healed from their individual situations. Lord, we stop and pray for our church this morning, Lord, your church, this church. We pray for the people, and we pray that they will remain strong, we pray that they will remain faithful. And we pray that when this pandemic is over, we will be back here as strong or stronger than ever because of what we've been through. We pray for Pastor Sue and Jim, that they're having a good time. We pray for Sue's son and his bride, Lord, and we pray that you'll bless them with a long and happy life. And we pray that Pastor Sue and Jim will return safely back to us and their time. We pray, Lord, for our world, your world, and all it provides us, the food we eat, the homes we live in, the lives we lead are so dependent upon all of these things that you provide. We thank you, Lord, for the changing of the seasons, the anticipation of what is to come, the anticipation of a new season and a new time of worship. Lord, we remember and pray for your healing on those in our church family who are ill, those who have family members who are ill, those who need healing, and those who have suffered loss. We ask, Lord, that they know that they're not alone in their hardship, that they have their church family with them, and that we are there for them, and that they should never forget that no one goes through this life alone. We ask these things all in your name, Jesus, and we honor you by saying the prayer that you taught your disciples so many years ago. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, you know by now Pastor Sue's gone, but we can carry on. The scripture I chose this morning starts in the middle of a story. So I think once we get into it, you'll become familiar with it, and you'll know where we're going with it. But reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 37 through 46, and this is the NIV version. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and those who are cursed. Into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Then the angel said to her, "Be not afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Those are words from Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Don't you just love the power of words? We all use them on a daily basis. For sure, some of us more than others. Sometimes to hurt, sometimes to heal, sometimes in anger, sometimes in haste, sometimes with great forethought, and sometimes with deep regret afterwards. Who can't think of times when you were deeply moved by the sound of someone else's words? Who can't remember using inappropriate words at equally inappropriate times? Who can't remember desperately trying to find the right words to say at an extremely difficult time? Words of comfort, support, strength to someone who is struggling. You recall your own circumstances. But in fact, too often, we get so used to using and hearing words that we don't even acknowledge them anymore or just take them for granted. We dismiss them as soon as we hear them because we've heard them so many times. Too often, words can lose their meaning and their effect. So let me give you an example. It is routine for this congregation, as it is in many others in Christian communities throughout the world, to acknowledge the reading of the New Testament scripture in nearly every Sunday morning service. The pastor, or lay speaker, concludes the reading by saying, "The word of God for the people of God." And the congregation responds, as you did just a few short minutes ago, "Thanks be to God." So does the significance of those words really have a meaningful impact on us and our lives? Or have they become rote mumbo jumbo and forgotten as soon as they are uttered again on the next Sunday? Do you think Mary ever considered dismissing those words that were given directly to her? The word of God is for the people of God, right? Amen. An angel also said to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Imagine the impact of those words on those shepherds and you. Are you truly thankful for the word of God, or have you forgotten or become immune to them? There's no time like the present for a refresher course. So let's study it together. Being somewhat of a mind reader, and also thinking of this myself, I know some, many, maybe all of you are listening and saying to yourself, "That's not me. He's not talking about me. I am in the church. I am in the parking lot. Or I am listening on the radio." He should be saying this to the people who don't go to church. And I agree with you to a point. I have a very vivid memory of one particular discussion I was having in one of my classes several years ago when things were different. A student who was normally quite reserved during class discussions spoke up and said, "You don't have to go to church to believe in God." I acknowledged to myself the courage it took for her to make that statement, and I agree with her. But I also believe that church attendance can be very stimulating and beneficial to a person's personal spiritual attitude and his beliefs. This is also true of reading and studying the Bible. You have heard the expression, I'm sure, "A little knowledge can be a dangerous thing." That's true. But in this case, it can also be very instrumental in developing an understanding of what being a true, not only in name Christian, actually entails. So, whether an individual is a churchgoer or not, we all agree that we, as Christians, are in this together. And we, painfully, have to admit that our world and our country have a multitude of problems. Are you still capable even of listening to the news? Everyone, and I mean everyone, seems to know whose fault all this is. And everyone, and I mean everyone, seems to know what everybody else needs to do to remedy all these atrocities that have become way and all too prevalent. I have even heard people ask God to intervene and straighten out these messes that he, by the way, did not create. People, I ask you, is it too much to ask us to take the responsibility on ourselves? God, through his word and his wisdom, has already told us how to solve the problems of the world. The word of God for the people of God. And let me give you some examples of the power of God's word. Let me start with a simple yet powerful encounter with Jesus. I know all of you are familiar with the story of Lazarus. And in John chapter 11, verse 43, after discussion with his sister Martha, in perhaps some of the most powerful words ever spoken, it is recorded that now when he, Jesus, had heard these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth. And after being dead for some days, the living Lazarus appeared from the tomb. Do you still doubt the power of God's words? I know. You're sitting there and you say, but look who said them. That is exactly my point. The word of God. And how about these simple words that you have known or paraphrased most of your life? Taken from Luke chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus said, "And just as you want men to do to you, do to them also." Whom do you know that would want his husband or wife, father or mother, brother or sister, son or daughter, shot to death while standing on a street corner in Texas because he or she was wearing a police uniform? Whom do you know who would want his or her husband or wife, father or mother, brother or sister, son or daughter, shot in the head while innocently sitting in a parked police car? Whom do you know that believes that the woman in Minneapolis who left her privately owned beauty salon after work one day deserved to find her business totally destroyed, burned to the ground the next morning? She was one of many, but that only makes it worse. Who believes that the rising toll of innocent children killed in random shootings and caught in crossfire deserved what they got? I could go on and on, but I think I made my point. Horrific evil exists in this world. And the solution to these problems is clear. Reaching that is a totally other issue. Somehow, good must triumph over evil. How, you ask? I offer to remember and follow the word of God to the people of God. To understand his role in our individual lives, we first must acknowledge him and his presence in our lives. This we do by faith. And again, we know this because the Bible, his word, tells us so. As recorded in Luke chapter 7, verse 46, after the sinful woman washed his feet, Jesus said to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So I ask you, is your faith strong enough to save you? Maybe this will help. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 29 through 32, "So he," meaning Jesus, "said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?'" I am here this morning to tell you that the ball is in your court. You have free will. You can have faith, believe, and follow the word of God, or you can deny God's existence and his word until the day you die. And it's different. You can live your life as God has instructed you to, or you can fall short. That's the beauty or the peril of your life and your relationship with God. He put it in your hands to live in a good world where good versus evil. It's not for me or anyone else to judge you. He will do that in his own time. That is the word of God. You and I all know that this world we live in is far from perfect. That's a given. We are imperfect people living in an imperfect world. Even so, God has instructed us to do that. We must all do our part to contribute to his cause and to do his will. Remember this. And thank you, Julie. She's not here this morning. But thank you, Julie, for sharing this on Facebook. You are free to choose, but you are not free from the consequence of your action. Let me repeat that. You are free to choose, but you are not free from the consequence of your action. The word of God, found in Proverbs 22, verse 6, instructs us to train up a child in the way he should go. And even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Think about that for just a minute. Even the best of parents know that their children are going to make mistakes as they are growing and maturing. In fact, sometimes experience is the best teacher. I'm not going to touch that hot stove again. I learned my lesson. But would you agree with me that something is amiss in our society today? There is far, far too much lack of discipline and respect on the part of not only way too many of our youth, but also on our adult peers as well. Too many of us have chosen to follow a path that directly contradicts the word of God. If we are saddened by this lack of respect, this violence, this corruption and mayhem that have infiltrated our lives, imagine how God feels about it. There are those who would say, what else can we expect? After all, we've taken God out of everything. The truth is, we have not taken God out of anything. The truth is, he is far more powerful than any of us are or would ever hope to be. We can deny his existence. We can choose not to live by his word. We can stop praying in public gatherings. We can remove the Ten Commandment plaques, but we cannot remove their meaning and their impact on our personal lives. The word of God is far, far more powerful than any deeds of men. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. These are words taken from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. I ask you, could it be any simpler? So, I've spoken a lot, and I hope not too many, of words this morning to get us to this point. I hope you don't take them as meaningless. But now you have to hear the rest of the story. We believe in God because we have faith in God. And it's that faith that sustains us and drives us to do what God has called each of us to do. But we have to take this one step further, as we are told in James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Loosely paraphrased, I think that translates, it's not just enough to talk the talk. You also have to walk the walk. So you know, when you think you have this thing called life all figured out, someone can come along and throw you a curveball that you were totally not expecting or unprepared for. At least that's true for me. I want to share a story with you that took over 40 years to complete. It is never too late to learn a valuable lesson from a seemingly innocent, very simple life's experience. Many years ago, one summer, shortly after Bev and I were married, we took on the responsibility of caring for one of Bev's sister's three kids. I don't even remember why, but that doesn't matter. At this point, we did it. And as I recall, it was a worthwhile experience. As the years have passed, we have seen and still do see those kids on occasions. One of these was last August at Emily's graduation open house. I was sitting there minding my own business when Allison, the oldest of the three, came over to me and told me she had something she wanted to share with me. And she did. She went way back to that aforementioned summer and told me she wanted to thank me for showing her how to correctly gather leaf lettuce from the garden. How it was necessary to pinch the leaves off at the base of the plant so that new leaves would form and grow. I was totally unprepared for this. I do barely remember it and can safely say that I hadn't given it a thought since it happened. But I have thought a lot about it since that conversation. What Allison went on to say was how much she appreciated that I had taken time out for her to show her the correct way to complete a task as simple as pinching lettuce leaves. I didn't just tell her to go bring in some lettuce. We went together, and I showed her how to do it. She told me she had never forgotten the correct way to pick a leaf of lettuce, and how grateful she was that I took the time and made the effort to show her how to do it right. Talk about the power of words. I had no idea. Obviously, there's a lot more to this story than just plain lettuce leaves. I'm not relaying this to make myself look like I'm someone special. On the contrary, I think it makes me look a little bad. At the time, I had no idea that such an insignificant act would have such profound consequences. Allison's story has made me refocus on how important it is in life to make the effort to give more of oneself to help make someone else's life better. Actions speak louder than words. And it can be so simple. It has also made me wonder, as it should you in your life's journey, how many people have I or have you affected positively, negatively, without even knowing it? Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Knowing the Word of God has, or should have, profound effect on how you live your life. But consider this. Why even bother to hear it if you're not going to live it? And I want to share one more Facebook post with you from an anonymous source. I ask you to hear more than just these words. Rivers do not drink their own water. Trees do not eat their own fruit. The sun does not shine on itself. And flowers do not spread their fragrance for themselves. Living for others is a rule of nature. We are all born to help each other, no matter how difficult it is. Life is good when you are happy, but it is much better when others are happy because of you. We know that throughout the history of the Bible, starting with Adam and Eve, God, in one form or another, culminating through the life and death of his son Jesus, when he said in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." God has spoken or communicated with people in a wide variety of ways. Some of you know that. With this realization comes the knowledge that God still does speak to us, even today, just as he did to Mary. The experts tell us, and I would rather go from the experts and ask you directly, because I think maybe you're more expert than some of the others, but the experts tell us that God speaking audibly is the exception, not the rule. Even in biblically recorded instances of God speaking, it's not always clear whether he used an audible voice, an inner voice, or a mental impression. But God still speaks to us today in much the same ways, and also through his living word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we read, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for righteousness, and that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for doing good work." The word of God for the people of God. Without a doubt, the word of God can be paramount, should be paramount, in the lives of Christians today. But I can hear yourself saying, asking, "What can I do?" Knowledge of the word is not enough. He just reminded us of that. I live in a small town, far from the turmoil found elsewhere in our country and the world. I am only one person among hundreds of millions. What can I do? And I'll tell you, you can do what his word tells you to do. Specifically, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, which reads, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And we'll now have our offertory. Lord, we thank you for these gifts. We ask that you bless those who gave. We pray that they will be used to your service and in your name. Amen. In our closing hymn, and you are standing, if you are able to stand up for Jesus. As you leave this morning, I would ask that you remember these words. There is sunshine, and there is rain. There is laughter, and there is pain. There is loss, and there is gain. But there is hope in Jesus' name. Have a good week. Stay well.